Amen. Okay, tonight's the last night of the teen parenting class. It's been incredible. If you would, turn your Bibles over to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 18. And tonight's topic is teen dating. I know parents, we're excited about that, right? You know what? I'm sorry. I told you Genesis 1:18, and that was wrong.
Oh, 2:18.
2:18. Amen. And what that reads is, it says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a suitable helper for him.'" And we, as humans, we're not meant to be alone at all. No one wants to be alone. God didn't create us that way. As humans, we desire a relationship with someone of the opposite sex. Amen?
Amen.
God created us to be social beings. And then God instituted marriage. And that's in Genesis 2:24. God desires for men and women to develop relationships that will eventually lead to marriage. Now, I have a couple of questions for the parents. Who in this room dated as single Christians? Raise your hand. Show of hands. Okay. Single Christians. Yes. How many of us went steady in the church? Oh, wow, that's good. Okay. Guess what, brothers and sisters? Our teens desire the same thing. They want to have someone that can be their friend, that they can develop a relationship with eventually down the road. And they want to be able to go steady. And they eventually want to be able to get married.
Amen.
And see, us as parents, we have to help them on that journey.
Yeah. Amen.
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 And, you know, when I think about dating, I define dating as a means of getting to know someone better. Bottom line, just getting to know someone better. Turn your Bible over to Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse 3. And the question you want to ask yourself is, what do you think dating is supposed to be like in God's church? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, it reads, "Amongst you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who disobey, who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." Goes on to say in verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for in the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord."
Amen.
And see, this is what we have to pass on to our children.
Amen.
We need to pass on to them what pleases the Lord in dating relationships. And just some questions that I like to throw out there. You know, how old should they be before they even start dating? That's a question. How should they ask each other out? What's the proper way to ask each other out these days? You know, should they go out in groups? Have group dates? Where should they go? What should they wear? You know, how do you conduct yourself when you're out on a date? Now, I know for me in my household, because the Bible doesn't speak directly about dating. Does not. But as far as me and my household, we have some guidelines and some rules set up when our children do start going out on dates that they're going to have to adhere to these. And I just like to throw out a few of them just to kind of help us out here. You know, it's when you start setting rules, it's important that the parents, both parents, are unified on the rules. It can't just be my rules. It has to be our rules. Amen? And the parents need to let the children know why they're setting the rules. And it needs to be an open discussion so that your children will know why these rules are being established. Kids hate rules. They do. They do. So We'll look at a couple of them. Just like rule number one, no dating until you're blank. No dating until you're blank. And I know that, one brother in here said that his granddaughter's going to be 31 before she goes out on her first date, and he's going with her. Philippians 3:15 says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, God too will make it clear to you. And I think that, you know, when you talk about age, I think it's a maturity thing. You know, you can set, you know, as a parent, you can say, hey, you can't go out until you're 18, and your teen may look at you like you have lost your mind. You know, I'm a Christian. You mean to tell me I have to wait until I'm 18? But it's all about the maturity level, being able to be mature enough to handle certain situations. You know, but there's some cons to that too. All teens don't mature at the same rate. You know, I know that my daughter has matured a little bit faster than my son, and she's younger. So you really have to use a lot of wisdom, a lot of insight on if or when they'll be able to date, if they can handle that. Even when you put a rule, an age there and say, okay, they're 18, they're going to come back up to you and say, hey, listen, Dad, I'm 18 now. I'm ready to go on a date. And I just don't think that would be wise to put that age there. You know, it would be more so like, okay, listen, when you turn 18, we will sit down and discuss whether you're ready to go out on dates consistently. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:14. This is a big one, parents. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? You know, the question here is, hey, does Christians have to date Christians? And I believe that Christians have to date Christians. I've seen a history of teens and singles try this a different way, and the results are never good. They're never good. The Bible says, do not be yoked with unbelievers. Christians should date other Christians. But here's the cons about making that blank statement, because we're living here now and everybody's like, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. My son or daughter may be like, oh, Dad, yeah, they said they're a Christian. But listen, we really need to be mindful, you know, how our kids are being asked out. They're being bombarded at school all the time. I know my daughter, she's coming home, and there's all kinds of stuff going on with the guys, and it's overwhelming at times. You need to make sure your children have convictions about Christians dating Christians. Now, what if my son or daughter's not a Christian? They can date someone else. As a parent, you need to be ready to face whatever consequences that will happen because of your decision. Just be ready for that. Just use a lot of wisdom when it comes to that. And I know for me in my household, I want to get to know whoever my children are going to date. I want to get to know them. Even with the little progressive dinner that the teens had a few months ago, you know, that was very encouraging for a lot of our teens. That was very, very encouraging. And we encouraged our son to go up to the dad of the young lady that he wanted to take out and talk to him and ask for permission to take her out. Now, see, that was done way long ago, and we've totally gotten away from that. But this young man, he was very, very encouraged. He was kind of shocked that he even came up to him to ask for permission. But I think it's just out of respect to do something like that.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Let me find my place here. Dating in public places. I'm a big believer that I don't want my teen going somewhere this isolated with anyone of the opposite sex. I want it to be a public place, somewhere open, a group date where they can hold each other accountable for being like Jesus. Because we have to help our children to guard their purity. And being in a public place will prevent any kind of temptation, especially when you're being watched by someone else. Now, kids have a way around all this stuff. They do. They do. They can work it in a way that you'll never know they're gone. Or they can have someone else say that, yeah, John was over here, but John was not over there. Like I said, group dating. I believe that, you know, when you go out on a date as a teen, you're really not mature enough to deal with someone one-on-one yet. I think that when you're out with a bunch of other Christians, it's more encouraging. You could really have fun together, and it's not something that it's real serious.
Right.
And see, I think as parents, we can make it more serious than the teens do. We can make it more serious. We can, you know, stress them out thinking about a date. I know on this progressive dinner, there were some parents that were very concerned about that, and calling Mr. John and Miss Marissa Bell and, you know, expressing their concerns. But it was just, kids getting together, going over to a few houses, having dinner. That was it. You know, it's easy and appropriate to have rules. It will be easier for your team to follow the rules if they understand where the rules come from. You know, sometimes we just quote scripture, do not be yoked with unbelievers. And then we'll leave it like that. We need to explain and address these issues and address any questions that they may have. We need to really make them feel comfortable when they're asking someone out for a date. And as parents, some of us are so far away from even dating that we don't know how to help our kids. And that's just truth be told. You know, we're so far away from that, we don't know how. But we have, you know, a youth minister here that knows your child and my child that can help us. Amen?
Amen.
Brothers, we need to teach our sons how to treat the sisters.
Amen.
1 Timothy 5. Let's see what time I got here. It says, treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity.
Amen.
Brothers, we need to teach our sons that they need to treat the sisters here with absolute purity.
Amen.
You know, sometimes, you know, I see in the fellowship a little too much horseplay from the boys with the girls. And we need to recognize that, and we need to address that if we see our sons behaving in a way that's not honoring Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, as parents of those that are not disciples, we still have the responsibility to teach our kids wisdom and consequences of bad choices. Because when we start making bad choices and doing things that we shouldn't be doing, there's a lot of things that can happen. You know, a lot of heartache, unwanted pregnancies, you name it. It could happen. That kind of dating ruins lives forever. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good character. We need to teach our kids to distinguish bad company from good company. And just to share a little bit about, you know, my dating experience, I've been a Christian. It'll be 19 years on Tuesday.
Amen.
I am grateful to God for that. Chloe and I, you know, we're dating in the world. We were living together as non-Christians. I started studying the Bible. I walked away from the relationship because it was not the relationship that God had called for me to be in. So I walked away from the relationship, and I went and lived with some single brothers. And 6 months later, I started dating the sisters in the church. And I dated a lot of sisters in the church for encouragement. They had me leading the singles. There were about 21 brothers in that ministry, and I think there were like 41 sisters in that ministry. But there was something going on in that ministry that just was not right. None of the sisters were being asked out by the brothers. They were going outside to other ministries asking the sisters out. And I got wind of that, and I prayed, and I gathered all 21 of the brothers together. And I said, listen, we need to talk. There's something wrong in the camp. Our sisters here in our own ministry are not getting the encouragement they need. And I challenged every one of them. I said, listen, I am going to lead by asking every single sister out. And I want you guys to follow my lead. And I was able to go out with 19 sisters. Two of them turned me down. They said they just don't date. And I did little things like we would just go to the park and have a picnic. Whatever it was, just to encourage the sisters. And brothers, you know, as our teens get older and get in campus, we need to really inspire and encourage our sons. Because the sisters are waiting for the encouragement. Amen? First, Hebrews 3:13. I'm going to wrap it up here. I'll start in verse 12. It says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. And see, I see that being applied to encouraging the sisters. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Dating is meant to be an encouragement. You know, as parents, we need to try to facilitate this. If your teen is talking about this, we need to talk about it with them. If we're uncomfortable talking about this with them, we need to get some help. Because if you're not going to talk about it with them, guess what? They're going to go outside the church and talk to someone about this. Be involved with your children when it comes to them wanting to go out on dates. Dads, it's very important for us to teach our boys how to be gentlemen, how to open doors, how to, you know, be like Jesus, because that's the next generation that's coming up, and we want to be sure to leave the church in good hands. Amen. 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 So with that, I'm going to pass it on to Mr. Derek.
How's everybody doing? All right. Mike covered a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
That's enough to say I can go home from here. We got it. You know. And everything he said was true. We need to take everything that he said to heart. Just want to plant something in your mind. You remember the first time when you're 2-year-old, well, not 2-year-old, but 6-year-old, 8-year-old. Did any of 6-year-old, 8-year-old have asked or had someone say that they were cute or try to say, you know, mommy, she looked at me in a funny way or anybody had that? How'd you feel about that? It was pretty cute, huh? It's pretty funny. It was kind of like almost like, oh, don't worry about it. You just kind of blew it off because it wasn't a threat. Right. But what about when they become 14, 15, and 16-year-olds and they get that same type of question asked? You know, it doesn't seem cute at that time. As our kids get older, they're going to be exposed to these things. You know, the boys are going to come on to the girls. The girls are going to come on to the boys. I was reading something a couple of weeks ago, and it stated that, you know, 15 girls that are 15 to 18 are more aggressive than the boys that are 15 to 18. You know, it blew me away. I thought it was the other way around. You know, but it's because girls aren't going to go and communicate that out, you know, but boys possibly will. The question you have to ask is, why do our children want to date? You know, I've come up with a couple of things. I think that they want to date because they want different friendships from mom and dad. I mean, when they were little, mom and dad was okay. You know, that was their security. You know, that was where you were their go-to person. But as they get older, independence kick in. You know, they want to be able to, you know, kind of venture out. They want to feel special. You know, just like we want to feel special. You know, every Dad's Day, every Mother's Day, you look forward to that. Every anniversary, every Christmas, every time whenever it's time to be able to make the other person feel special, you're going to make the opportunity. Another reason why kids like to date is because it's popular. It's very popular in school. I mean, when they're in school, like Mike was sharing, they're being hit on all the time. You know, they see things. You know, if you go into school grounds, you'll see that kids are walking around holding hands. You find them off in secluded places, you know, doing whatever. And the thing about it is, no one's saying anything about it. It's the norm. And I know that we have plenty of educators here, and they see it all the time. And you can't really just say what's on your mind or say what would be the golly thing to say, you know, because you'll be in jeopardy of losing your job. So you just have to bite the bullet and just hope that your kids don't get caught up into that mess. Another thing is that some feel that their emotional and physical needs are met by somebody that understands them. Wow. You know, as your kids get older, you know, we kind of lose control. Yep. And the world becomes a little more appealing. Mm-hmm. You know, and disciples and non-disciples kids struggle with this. It's not like the disciples over here, kids, they're cool. They're like, you know, God's got that under control. And the non-disciple kids, they're like doomed. Everybody's doomed. Satan's looking for everybody to attack. He's not giving up anything. You know, before I became a disciple, I had no clue of what dating was about. Zippo. I had two dates that I can recall. And the reason why I can recall them because it was very significant. You know, a couple of things happened that just kind of floored me. You know, I dated at 14. I went on a date at 14. And it was just around the corner. Went around the corner, picked up, and we went to a diner. We had a hamburger, fries. Back then, it was a shake. Took her back home. I saw her in school the next day. She didn't say a word to me. I was like, oh, my goodness. Yeah, I was like, okay. Yeah, I was devastated. So that first outing didn't go well. The second time, I was 17. And I had a job. You know, I was delivering newspapers. So I saved my little money up, $15, every 2 weeks. And I invited this girl to the movies. And mind you, you know, I'm originally from Baltimore, and public transportation is huge there. So it was no such thing as you had your own car. So I had bus fare, you know, and I had bus fare for me and bus fare for her. So we got on the bus and put my money into the little slot and got to the movies. Guess what? I put my $10 into the slot, and we had no money for the movies. She didn't talk to me the next day either. But luckily, she had mercy on me because she paid for the movie. So I was, you know, extremely grateful at that. But the reason why those things happened was, the reason why they happened was because I didn't have any training. The only training that I knew of is what I could see in the neighborhood or what I saw in school. That was it. That was the extent of my training. So our kids, some of our kids are like that. Well, where they don't have any type of training, the extent is what they see outside of the household and sometimes in the household. And the question is, are you prepared to talk to your kids about dating? Or are you, or have you waited and they caught you off guard? Because the kids communicate, but they communicate in a different way. They give you bits and pieces. They give you sound bites. They don't give you the whole story. They're not completely responsible enough to do that, or their mental capacity is not there where they can convey that to you. So are you drawing that out of them? Or are you just waiting for them to ask you? It may happen, it may not. But before you know it, someone else is going to say that. Someone else is going to invite them out. Another question is, don't be afraid to use the scriptures. I mean, if you think about our relationship with God, every time that we had a struggle or every time we had a certain concern, we could go to the scriptures and we could get an answer. The Bible is useful for teaching, rebuking, training in righteousness, so that the man of God could be thoroughly equipped for good works. So it's the same with our kids. You know, the Word of God has the answers. Right. It's just us making the decision to go to the Word of God when we need that type of advice. Amen. To help them. Right. And then you got to ask another question is, if they want to date, ask them why. Our daughter, she came to us, 15 years old. And she says, I want to have a boyfriend. And we was like, it was two responses. My first response is, you got to be crazy. You got to be kidding. My wife, being a more spiritual person in our relationship, she said, okay, if you can give me one reason why you should date, then we can sit down and talk. 2 days went by. No reason. She couldn't find a reason. The only reason was because she saw someone else in school and she wanted to imitate what they were doing. And that's not really a good reason. That's not something that we can say, okay, that's solid. Now you can date. How is your view of dating? Where does it begin? How do you see dating? You know, I know that we're here and we're trying to get input on how our kids should see dating, but how do we view dating? You know, is it worldly? I mean, we still even though we're adults, we still have, we're still subject to sin. We're still subject to the world. You know, I think about, you know, reality shows. Do we get our view updated from reality shows? Romantic novels. If you go to any bookstore, any Walmart, any type of store that has books, you go in, you see wall-to-wall a novel section.
Yeah.
Romance.
That's right.
You know, they're trying to teach you as an adult how to date.
Wow.
The world. Or are you going, are you looking into the Bible and getting spiritual principles? 1 Thessalonians says, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. As Mike shared, you want to encourage your kids to talk to you. And you want to make sure that when you have that talk there, that, you know, they're mature. I mean, obviously, you don't want to have that talk when they're like 10 years old.
Right.
It's going to go way over their head. It's not. It won't be a connection there. But when they get 14, 15, they're going to start thinking. They want to know. They want to have, you know, a relationship outside, again, outside of your relationship because of what they see. First Samuel 16 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It has nothing to do with the outward appearance, but our kids, they're connected. You know, it's amazing how the eyes just draw you in. To bad things.
Yeah.
I mean, even as adults, we struggle with that.
Yep.
You know, it's a daily battle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to keep a pure heart, to keep your motives right, to conduct yourself well when you're amongst people.
That's right.
So it's all the more harder for our teens. My question is, are we going on dates? Do our teens see us going on dates? You know, I'm not talking about a date where the church says that, okay, we're having this big hula and we need all the marriage or, you know, all the singles to come. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about taking the initiative, your own initiative to go out on dates. And I'm talking about singles as well as married. You know, we need to be examples for our kids.
Yeah.
They need to be able to see, you know, what pure dating is. Galatians 5:22-23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All these things we need are involved in pure dating. You know, when our kids see us, this is what they're looking for. They want to see, are we being patient when we go out on dates? They want to see, do we have self-control? Or are we loose? Whether it's physically or verbally, they want to see exactly how dating should be. And if they don't get it from us, they're going to get it from the world. Or they're going to make up their own opinion on what it's really about. And the thing about it is, when they come to us, one thing we don't want to do is overreact. We don't want to overreact. How many of your teens has said something to you and you just overreact? Just, you had to confess that. Yeah, I think every hand should go up, because I think that we've all at one point in time have overreacted. You know, but that time is going to come where your teen is going to say, "Mom, Dad, you know, I like him. I like her." What does that mean, I like? I like ice cream. Cake, you know, but it's a different type. They basically, what they're saying is, "Mom, Dad, I want to have some different relationship. I want to know how it is, you know, for we have teens in the congregation that are dating, correct?
Yeah.
And they want to know, the teens that aren't dating. It was like, why is she dating and I'm not dating? Why is he dating and I'm not dating? I think it all depends on, it's the parents. The parents, you have to make that decision. As Mike shared, when is time? It's a level of maturity. If the maturity is not there, you know, or the maturity may never be there. They could be 35 and may not be mature. But the thing about it is, you don't want to formulate, you know, when you think it's time for them to date. They're going to come to you. And when they come to you, you want to be prepared.
Amen.
To give an answer. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like your faith. Mm-hmm. You want to be prepared to give an answer.
That's right.
About why you believe what you believe. Mm-hmm. So you need to be ready. And I know that our first thinking is to get anxious, to get overwhelmed. But our first defense needs to be prayer.
That's right.
It needs not to be the last defense. We need to pray. We need to seek advice. It's a lot of men and women here that have been through this.
That's right.
And we have a wealth of knowledge of how to raise teens,
right.
A wealth. The world doesn't have a clue. We have something very special here. You know, and I'm encouraged. I'm really encouraged just to see all of you here. It shows me that you care. It shows me that you want your children to be able to understand dating and do it in a godly way. And the thing about it is, we need to go after their hearts, not their actions, because their actions are gonna want you to, you know, become a Bible thumper. They're gonna want you to hard discipline. They're gonna want you to be unspiritual sometime. But the thing about it is, once you get in tune with their hearts, once you can be able to sit down and talk to them, and I believe that any team can, if once you get to their heart, they can really be able to share with you what's going on.
Amen.
Sometimes it may take over a period of time, you know, but we need to be patient and wait and not give up. You know, what's important? Building our teens up. That's important.
Amen.
You know, we want them to have a spiritual view of dating. We want them to be disciples, real disciples, true disciples. And if they're not disciples, we need the desire for them to be true disciples.
Amen.
And we have to fight for that. That's not going to come easy. It's going to be a fight. The thing about it is, are you ready to fight? Are you ready to commit yourself? As I said earlier, when they were younger, they were cute. But that wears off. You know, that's the easy work. The easy work is when they're 6, 7, 8, 10, 12. When they hit 14, you know, to me, 14 on up, that's where you lay the foundation. That's where the groundwork starts. So you know, I think as parents, we need to be in a fight with them constantly. You know, I think this has been a tremendous time, you know, especially for me. I've learned a lot, you know, with the teen parenting class, you know. I wish that we can have this more often, you know, because it really opened my eyes up to see exactly how more I need to be with my teen daughter and having a 9-year-old coming up. You know, but we need to be above reproach.
Amen.
You know, in our homes.
Amen.
You know, we need to our homes need to be a haven of godliness.
Right.
I can say one thing: we try our best to eliminate anything, and I know that you do as well. Anything that's gonna get in there and change the thinking of our kids. Whether it's TV, whatever it is, whether, you know, we need to make sure that our house is a pure setting. And I think that if we do that, I think that if we continue to seek advice, I think if we continue to pray, then God will bless our efforts, and we'll see more of our teens not only date, but, you know, be married, which that's everybody's desire. If you're a man or you're a woman, your desire is to one day be married and one day be teaching your kids. You know, and I know that's kind of far off, you know, when you think about it, but that's going to happen. Your teens will one day be teaching their teens. So as we lay the foundation, let us just be assured that God's going to bless our efforts. Thank you for your time. It's been a wonderful event.
Amen.
Thank
you. Amen. Are we encouraged?
Yeah.
Has it been an incredible 8-week series?
Yeah.
I just want to thank everyone that has been coming, the parents. And you guys are the heroes. And I pray that you guys aren't feeling weary, tired, you're not feeling helpless, hopeless, because God is still on the throne and God is still in control.
Right.
And I want to thank everyone that was able to get up here and share during the past 8 weeks. That's just been incredible. And I want to encourage the parents that did not sit in on all 8-week series to go back to the website and listen.
Amen.
Because I think that you will really be encouraged. And as Steve and John shared last week, as they came back from the conference in L.A., the Youth and Family Ministry Conference, the website is right there, liveittogiveit.org. Please, if you haven't went to that website to listen, you will be inspired as a parent.
Amen.
Because there's so much information and so many good speakers that are sharing things that we can put into practice in our own homes. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you so much. Amen.
Amen.